Here's what's coming up on today's episode of Your Tagline Here.
What I like to do, all the technical aspects, I like to break them. So for example, tutting, you have always like nice shapes. And now in my mind, because I like all this weird abstract things and broken things, I would something like that. So it's still inspired by it, but broken down in my own way, how I move. That's where, and I use a lot of gestural movements. Like I like to speak, I like to use my movement, the way how I, even the way how I speak or explain the way that's how I move in a way, but inspired by so many different dance styles. So I do everything and nothing kind of.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Your Tagline Here with me, Simon Tomlinson. In this episode, I speak to Robin Dobler, who is a dancer, model, teacher, and mentor. He explains why dancing means so much to him, how it helped him to deal with difficult circumstances when he was growing up, and what his plans are for the future. We also get into some philosophical conversations about success, happiness, and personal development, which was really insightful and enjoyable too. Before we get into the episode, I'd just like to mention our sponsor, KickLab, which is a digital marketing company based in Birmingham in the UK. KickLab have over 15 years experience and specialise in branding, websites, digital marketing, social media and more. So if you want to grow your business online, just head over to kicklab.com, which is KIKLAB.com. Okay, without further ado, let's get started with the episode. If you do like it, then please make sure you give us a thumbs up and subscribe so you don't miss out on any future content. I'm really pleased to introduce Robin into the podcast. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for coming on and being a guest.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward.
So I met Robin a couple of weeks ago now, which was at a video and photo shoot that we did, which was modeling some loads of shoes. There were 90 different shoes for a really cool shoe company called Untamed Street, and Robin came along as a dancer modeling those shoes, and I was massively impressed with your dancing skills, but also just your general personality, and I wanted to have you on the podcast to find out more about your dancing background. So first of all, Robin, what kind of dancing is it that you do?
Okay, I try to make this as simple as possible. So I do everything, honestly. I did a BA in contemporary and in urban dance. I know we don't want to call it urban anymore, but in Switzerland it's old school, so they still call it like that. So to explain that, the contemporary side is more the technical parts, floor work, maybe jazz, ballet, contemporary. And the urban / street hip-hop will be hip-hop, house, breaking, and all these kind of things. That's what I'm trained in for 3 years. What I do, and commercial, of course, but what I do mainly is more the abstract and the gestural movements. So like speaking a story, I would say I take a lot of inspiration from crumping and popping. I'm not a crumper or a popping dancer, but the inspiration from it.
Can you explain what crumping and popping is? So I think I know what popping is. I've never heard of crumping before.
That's a big...
Is it difficult to describe?
Yes, and also because I'm not living this kind of culture. It's like a culture, a dance culture in a way. It's very hard to explain it. But I would say the crumping side is more about your emotion and letting it out in the movement. And the popping is more like static, and it's like hits, like it's all the pops in your chest, for example, or in your full body. And then my contemporary aspect is more the fluidness, the connection between the different body parts. And for me as well, a big part is playing with musicality, like how to move to different quality in the music and so on. That's where, like, I always say, like, RD movement, Robin Dobler movement, because whatever inspires me in nature, in humans, in movement, in movies, in gaming or whatever, I take what inspires me and try to create it in my own way to explain or share. That's kind of what I'm doing.
Yeah, and from my observation of seeing you dance over those couple of days that we were working together, it looked very modern in terms of the style of dance that you were doing. Mm-hmm. And it looked very... It looked like there were lots of different styles all mixed together.
Absolutely.
And it looked like you were very well trained in those different styles. But then when you came to dance, in this particular scenario anyway, it looked like you were just improvising. You were just going with the flow and just like feeling the music and then letting it come out.
So what I do, because I'm trained, like not professionally, like I will not say I'm a, like I said, that's why I don't call myself a specific dance style dancer. And that's why I call it Audi Method / Audi Movement, just my name, because it's who I am. But what I like to do, all the technical aspects, I like to break them. So for example, tutting, you have always like nice shapes. And now in my mind, because I like all this weird abstract things and broken things, I would something like that. So it's still inspired by it, but broken down in my own way how I move. That's where, and I use a lot of gestural movements. Like I like to speak, I like to use my movement, the way I speak or explain the way, that's how I move in a way, but inspired by so many different dance styles. So I do everything and nothing, kind of.
Yeah, well, it looked very impressive to me. And yeah, you certainly are very well trained and very very good at performing on the stage, of which it was only a small stage that you were performing on those 2 days, and I was sometimes the only audience member, but I was very captivated in what you were doing. So when did you first start dancing in your life?
Well, again, I tried to make it not too complicated, because otherwise I'm here tomorrow. But to really quickly, this is going to be super hard, to really quickly combine everything together, why I'm dancing. So I was, I'm originally from Switzerland. I was born 2 months too early. I had mechanical problems, so my brain and my body didn't function together. I was raised in a child home. And because of music, it's like a therapy with music, I learned to give you my hand through repetition. Speaking is moving your lips. So through repetition and musicality and literally dance in a way, I'm doing this, but indirectly it's because of moving. I just learned to talk, to walk, to move and literally give you my hand. And that's kind of how I got into it. Indirectly not, but still I started dancing when I was 4, and through all of this I was bullied over 8 years long, and dancing was literally the only therapy in my mind who I was completely myself, or I was allowed to be myself. And there were 6, I went to a dance class and a gymnastic class. Gymnastic class, I stayed for 5 minutes because I was very gymnastic. Like I would do flips and tricks and everything as well. I trained on my own. I stayed 5 minutes and then went to the hip hop class in the evening and I stayed. And since then I started to take classes and so on. But freestyling, or in my case, how I call it now, improvising, that's what I prefer to say. It's the thing that kind of kept me going and put me to the path where I am right now. That's very simple explained.
Well, thank you for sharing that story, because it sounds like you had a difficult upbringing for a few different reasons. And it's great how you've been able to use dance in such a positive way to help you overcome some of those movement issues when you were younger, and also to overcome bullying as well, which is a really difficult thing for anyone to deal with at any age, particularly when we're younger. So I think it's great that you were able to use dance as a way of escaping from that situation that you were in.
escaping, but also speaking, because I will not, nobody knew about anything, kind of. Even myself, I did not know. I only found out about that stuff when I was 16. Again, there is such a complicated, long story. I still will try to bring a little bit more into it. But so dancing was for me the way how I speak, because I would not talk with anybody about being bullied or so on. So I was acting all the time that everything's all right, but it wasn't. But also dancing was actually for me the power and the strength to stay like not grounded in a way of grounded being calm, but grounded to not do something that could hurt myself. Because I luckily I never had suicide thought or something, but dance was definitely like I would, let's say, freestyle in my room at 3 a.m. if I had to just let go of my thoughts and feelings. And because my star sign is Pisces, so we are already very emotional and, you know, this kind of very thin outside but very strong inside. And that was kind of the therapy as well, to use movement and dance and music in a very now because now I understand it, of course, I would say in a very meditative and calming myself, bringing myself to the ground and to understand and to allow to be in the moment as well. But of course, honestly, a kid that was not thoughts that would ever have thought about, but now reflecting on the past. And also because of moving and dancing, I think I found also the strength and the power to then stand up for myself, because you can always be on one side and, you know, you can always question and not understanding, but there is a certain part in your life probably where you realize or have to realize that maybe you can change something as well, not just the people around you. And so dance gave me also the power and the strength, not only of course, but because we speak about dancing, to stand up for myself and say, hey, I'm not nobody, like I'm a human as well, you know. And just to really quick jumping in, because now we are in a very dark place, whatever happened there, and that happened a lot, the thing is, my mindset was in a very dark cloud. I call it this rainy gray cloud. And somebody came to me and said, how can you be grateful and happy if you always stay in the past? Easier said than done, but that was my trigger point for me to reflect and understand, wait, true, that's me who can choose how I choose the path that I take, right? And out of that, I saw literally the light, and I understood. It was just a trigger point that literally changed my complete life in every way, and also the understanding that I can change. If the people don't change around me, I can choose. And through that, that's why I'm such a positive person now as well, because I went through this very dark side and understood that I still have enough power and the strength to, because of dancing most likely as well, to actually go to the other side and be the, like I call it, the hero about my own personal opinions and life and choices, right? So yeah. How sad and dark the past was, I'm deeply grateful that I went through that this path to understand who I am today. And now I can, like with my privates and guiding and mentoring, I can share with other people and guide them and inspire them in some ways with my story, with my past, with my choices. And so it's in a very beautiful, positive way.
And I think that's a great story. And how you've been able to use dancing to change the way that you look at your life, from being in a negative dark space and actually focusing on the positives. And now, like, I know from working with you for a couple of days, you are a very positive, very enthusiastic, very energetic sort of person. And I really enjoyed working together over those couple of days.
Thank you.
So it's great that... you've been able to use dance to help shape who you are as a person, which I think is an amazing thing. And also, like you mentioned, that you're mentoring other people. Can you tell me a little bit more about what that is and what that involves?
To be honest, that's only because COVID happened. Okay. Like, I used to do teaching classes, you know, in a studio and dance. And I used to do programs. So especially in 2020, I started to travel more around Europe to teach my program. But only because of COVID, I really started to take the time to analyze what I can give, what I have, and how can I use it in the long term and also, you know, make somehow money with it. Not that money is for me the main importance, absolutely not. Like, I'm the opposite, really. But still, as an artist, and I think also because I'm 25 now, I'm not old at all, but still, I think my mind is also more ready and understandable that it's not only about being an artist, but also what do you want to build up for the long term and in the future. And so that's how I got into sharing privates, and I do this now since literally March 2020, I think, or something like that, whenever COVID happened. Yeah. And unfortunately, I was then very much booked and blessed the first time in my life, like from one big movie to a huge TV show to modeling to, and then scrap, COVID happened. So because I learned very strongly in a very early age through the child home, to listen to myself, and I'm very self-aware about a lot of things. I think awareness is the key, what I learned or what I experienced in my life. And that's now the key, what I want to share, awareness. Like, are you aware about that? Because we say, like people say, we know, but we don't know, right? So we are aware what we know about. And that's literally what I'm doing. I try to share awareness in dance, of course, in musicality, but also life, in personal choices, in feelings, especially in COVID, like with a lot of people, we would speak for 2 hours about feelings and stuff from my side, but also from the client side. And it's more a very personal state, not just I'm the teacher and I'm going to do that. So that's why I like to call it a share. I'm not teach, because I'm not a higher person or a lower person than somebody else. We're all humans. Yeah,
and I think it's a really important thing, especially at the moment, because a lot of people are going through very difficult times and are in difficult circumstances, and sometimes we need help from other people, and if we can find someone to help us, like you, then that's a great thing. What sort of people is it that you tend to help and mentor? Are they other dancers and performers, or are they like anyone from any walk of life?
Again, before I would only do dancers, really good dancers, and then COVID happened, and I guess I was allowing myself to go a little bit more to my human side and away from I need to do it only for dancers because it's going to be more exciting for me. And so now I'm actually doing one person, for example, I'm not going to say names, but he never danced before, or just like in a disco. And I do privates with him almost 3 hours per week, and seeing his growth as a mover, but also as a human in movement and understanding, and the excitement, the passion he has. I had when I was at this point where I was, when everything was new, it's actually really beautiful. And so it really, I think, especially with privates, it's all about energy. I'm all about energy. For me, it's about energy and connection and understanding. Like when we met, I said, I like your energy, because I feel like I can feel the energy. And through that, I know, or I more or less feel and know, or I'm aware again, how we gonna work or how we connect. And not always happens like that, of course, you know, but in my private career, I only had like 2 people that we both kind of had to say, maybe it's not the right thing. So it really doesn't matter who you are and what you do, as long you're passionate or interested, and if you are from a human side and not from I'm the best or I'm something bigger, even if you are maybe, I don't know, a business owner or, you know, things like that. Just very grounded, I think, and calm.
Yeah, and I think sometimes just having someone to talk to, someone who is completely impartial and someone who can look at things from a different perspective can really help to change your own way of looking at things, because a lot of the time we can feel very maybe sad or depressed or worried or anxious about situations when actually things might not be as bad as we think if we change the way that we're looking at it, which can be easier said than done. But I think it really helps to have someone who can be there and sort of help us to look at things in a different perspective.
Yeah, and I mean, again, like, it's not I do it mainly with dancers because dancing, but with some people I'm actually starting now with their business and like branding. So with some people I'm working since March 2020, and now we started to, because I learned so much about my building business, or I took a lot of master classes in understanding. I'm all about analyzing and understanding and being aware about the flip side of the table. And now certain people I'm building on their business and their calendar and so on. So it's really open, whatever.
Are there any good books or people on YouTube that you would recommend people could watch or read about maybe like personal development and to help them in that side of things?
I would say I'm the complete wrong person to ask that.
Okay. Because
I'm reading, but I can still answer it. So I'm not reading, but as you said, YouTube/watching. I will not say specific, but what I did, especially in COVID, I don't know if you know Masterclass. It's like Netflix, but for stars have like celebrities and actors, they would have recorded really high professional thing. And for me in the beginning, I was like, oh no, it's just going to be like, oh, I'm the star. But again, I'm a person who not needs, it sounds a bit stupid, I'm a person who doesn't need to do something to learn it. So I'm a person, I'm really good in analyzing and listening and watching. That doesn't mean I'm an actor afterwards, but the tools that I learned from the actors, I can then indirectly still use in my own way. So I did like over 40 masterclasses on this site. Right? I was Apple on for a year now. I think it's done in October, unfortunately. I'm thinking about buying it again. I think it's £180. Sounds a lot, but for COVID, we were in lockdown. And like I said, I did like around 40 masterclasses, from singing to acting to management, business, photography, fashion, because I love to, what I said before, this the flip side of the table. I did the acting course for 10 hours, again, just watching. And he was a really good actor. And in this course, he was the mentor and director. And he said he went from actor to director, from director to casting director, from casting director to extra, from extra to production, just to understand and see the behind side, to always understand the flip side. And that inspired me so much, because I already did that when I was a model. Like, I want to do, even with you, I want to understand the camera, how you do, what is the focus, why you do certain things. Sometimes these can be stupid questions, but in my mind, it's like, I want to understand so I know what I have to do as a model or as a dancer. And so when I film, I know what the model is doing and so on. And Masterclass was, in this way, it's a huge promotion for them, but fantastic.
Wow. It's a really good point, actually, because I have seen it advertised a lot in the past. I haven't seen it advertised that much recently. But I know that they do have a whole range of like really big names that are on it. Like, I think Martin Scorsese, I think, is on it for directing.
Absolutely.
And Ron Howard is on there for directing as well. I think of... there's one for DJing. Armin van Buuren, I think, did. So, like, really big names. And, yeah, it's like, just from watching the adverts, it does look like it's put together in a really professional way. And I imagine that it's very educational. And it's better to spend time watching that rather than just watching any old rubbish on Netflix, because at least we're learning and we're developing.
That and was kind of my fault as well.
Yeah, I want to ask you a question, just coming back to your beginnings of dancing. Is there any dancers that really inspired you when you were growing up that you really sort of looked up to and was like a hero to you?
Because I was young and you know, kind of in this in-between, like we had internet, but it wasn't that big, to be honest, like YouTube and all this kind of stuff. So internationally, not really. I mean, Step Up, of course, you know, the movie Step Up. I mean, everyone. So dance movies in general. But I had a friend of mine. His name was Ivan Garcia. And he had kind of this, not father role, but a little bit my mentor role. In when I was younger, and especially when I got a bit older, and he would like push me and train me. He even filmed my first proper video, and I looked up to him. But I would say I did not look up specific to one person. It's much more. Okay, really quick story. So when I was 16, in Switzerland, I lived in a kind of village. It's a bigger village. And Zurich is like this big city, right? And in a very early age, I think when I was 14, I would be allowed from the child home. And again, this is not really normal, because normally, you know, a child home has certain rules and stuff. But anyway, they trusted me, and I had a lot of freedom because I went through, like, I built it up, the trust and so on. So I would take dance classes in Zurich. And through that, I would look up to these really good dancers, because I was training with the professionals even in a very early age. And because I was always told, you're not good enough, da da da. And then my teacher stopped teaching in the school where I was taking classes. I decided to go on my own to the to Zurich, to this huge dance studio. And I would go to a beginning class, and the teacher afterwards come and say, you're way too good. You need to go train with the professionals. Like, but I was like literally over 4 years told, you're not good enough. So I would go to the professionals, to the adults. And I mean, I was really not good enough, but it inspired me to even go further and further and further and push. And so I think the inspiration was more the surroundings around me in the dance community in Switzerland. Yeah. In this nice. Point.
Yeah, no, that's a really nice story of, pushing yourself and following your dreams and breaking the rules a little bit if you need to be able to follow those dreams. A question that I wanted to ask you before as well, which I think you've pretty much answered, but I wonder if there's anything else there is. I wanted to ask you, what is it about dancing that you really enjoy? And you've already talked about how it helps. Well, it's helped to develop you, and it's something that you can sort of get lost within when you're doing it. Am I correct with those assumptions? And is there anything else that you enjoy about dancing in particular?
I love this question, because I do ask myself that, especially right now, a lot, because right now I'm not dancing at all. Like, I'm not taking any dance classes. I don't want to say I lost the passion for it. I will not, because it's always a part of me. And every time I hear music, I move. But the feeling of training and, you know, all this kind of thing. And I'm asking myself that question as well. But every time I'm working right now or involved dancing, I have the same energy and feeling as I would have if I would do it every single day. So I think what I learned, or I realized for myself as well, because I like to do so many things, I like balance. I don't like to do one thing only. For example, right now I model a lot. I love it, but I miss the dancing side very much. Like, I would love to have a dance job and maybe one shooting less, you know, because I like to do both sides balanced. To go back to the question, when I ask myself that as well, because again, when I do it, it feels like how it feels so natural. And I think that's kind of the answer. It feels so natural. If I don't want to move, I'm not moving, you know, it doesn't feel forced. It is also not something where I need to do it every single day for 5 hours. You know, it has no rules in a way of me having to do or not to do. Dancing is something you grow every single time you do it. Like, it's a never-ending story, you know? You can be strong in a certain style, but it still keeps going, so you never finish learning. And you always rediscover your way of moving. Like, in COVID, I took so much time to rediscover my movement and understanding what inspires me. You said, like, the modeling, that's a thing for me as well. Like, for me, I use a lot the avant-garde, more fashion modeling in my movement now. Before, I would have to do the opposite. I would have took the dancing into my modeling. But I realized, wait, actually, I have such a quirky way how I move, but also how I want to model sometimes. So I can combine that. So it's really more the whole package. And it doesn't feel forced, and it feels so natural that, so when I question myself, why do I do it or why I'm not doing it, it's because I'm allowing it to be in the moment. And if it feels right in the moment, I do it. If I've emotion-wise, I feel like, oh, I need to let go or anything, or if I feel like I want to share, but also being in the same time very okay and understandable and aware, if I don't want to move, I don't have to do it. Like, there is no must or not. And I think that's the beautiful thing about moving. When you go from a human side of it, it feels just very natural and you don't need to force it. And I think that's where I have so much, where I found now the passion again and understanding and the love for it, that it's okay if I'm not dancing every day. But it's also okay if I dance every day and I'm super excited for it. Same with gaming or watching movie or whatever it is, like allowing to wake up and choose how you feel and listen and being aware about your own spirit and mind and flow and breath, and that allows you to use the passion and the motivation for it as well.
And it sounds like you've got a really good balance there, actually, and listening to your intuition about when you want to dance and when you just want to take a rest, and not forcing yourself to dance if you don't particularly want to, but yeah, just listening to your body and just going with the flow, which I think is a good way of doing things. What are your ambitions for the future with dancing or any of the other work that you do?
So it's really funny, and I love this question, because the other day I have done a manifestation list on my Instagram just for a story, and maybe a couple of weeks I will look back to. And I put so many big things, like world tour, working with a big artist, working with FK Tweaks, like Tweaks. I would really love to work with her. Or like booking a big campaign and brand, and so many high goals. And I was like, wait. But there are smaller things. And then I realized, wait, but actually I did the smaller things. I did so much already. We sometimes forget what we did. And it was really beautiful to see this list, because normally I would be like, calm down, Robin, like, you know, there's many other things you can do. You don't need to think only about that. But because I did already so many little things, I mean, they're not so little, but you know, that it kind of feels exciting for me as an artist to now have some really high goals and allowing myself to work into this direction, because a year before COVID, I would have done a lot of things, but I wasn't aware that the path that I went didn't really go the direction where I want to go, especially with dancing. And now I'm much more aware about, it doesn't matter how many dance classes I take, nobody cares if I want to work in this kind of direction in dance. So again, being more in alignment and placement of my dream/goals, but also the path, and allowing to be okay to use the path in the moment and not trying to force something or reach something before it meant to be for me.
Yeah, and I think that that's a great approach as well. Like, in the past, I would be very fixated on specific goals that I wanted to achieve, and I would make a lot of sacrifices to get there, and it would be almost like quite a struggle to try and get there. Whereas now, like, I do have ideas of what I want to achieve, but I'm not forcing myself or pushing myself too hard. I think it's important to enjoy the journey of getting there. And actually, if we get there or not, it doesn't really matter if we enjoy the process and enjoy the journey.
Yeah, I always say, and I'm annoyed about it, but I always say it didn't meant to be, or it meant to be. Unfortunately, my meant to be has had some very big struggles the last 2 years because of COVID and something. Not just me, but you know, I thought, oh, now it's my time, and then it wasn't. But I believe it's very close, and I believe in meant to be, and I believe in the positive anyway in general. Like I try to see, even now, like there's so much negativity, but I still try to find something positive during the day that can keeps me going with a smile. And if not, that's fine as well. You know, if I wake up and I'm being grumpy, then I'm all day grumpy and staying in my bed. And that's cool as well. Like, again, listening to yourself. But I do have to say, because I have this list now in my head, the next 5-10 years, my goal is to actually reach them. Like, I believe I could make it. Like, but it has to do also a little bit with luck, being in the right moment, knowing the right people. And that's completely fine as well. But again, even if I'm not going to do everything, I believe there are certain things, bigger things, that will be meant to be for me. It's just a question when. And I'm a very impatient person. So one of my negative things, it's not really negative, but one of my weaknesses is being impatient. Because I'm impatient, I'm also very fast, and I'm Swiss. So if I get an email and I can't answer it, they have an answer in 5 seconds if I see it straight away. So
yeah.
But because I'm impatient, it can be also like, okay, so I answer it, so why am I not getting one in a week? Or is it, you know? But I do believe things meant to be, and if they're meant to be for you, then they will also happen. And if you really believe, like if you really want it from the heart and not just, oh, because somebody else does it, I think you can achieve a lot more than you think. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And I agree with what you were saying about... It requires hard work to be successful, and it requires a certain amount of skill and talent, which I do believe that skill and talent can be developed with hard work, but there's a whole load of luck that's involved as well about who you meet and opportunities that are presented to you. So you've just got to go with the flow and accept the situations as they are, but keep on trying your hardest. So did COVID have a big impact on the work that you were doing and the amount of work that you were getting coming in?
I mean, I live now in August 5 years here. In August is already over, right?
September.
Yeah. So I'm already, oh my God, you see time flies so quick. Because I would say normally in August, I'm here 5 years, but I live 5 years here now in London. And I would say 2020 was really the first year where I was very much fully booked and blessed, so much that I did not even had any free days. What is pretty crazy. I would have been probably a shock as well. I was in a contemporary production, like a theater dance production. And from them, I would go to Paris to teach my program. And then I would have started the movie, and then I would have gone to Switzerland for another job, and I come back to London and would have done the TV show. It was really a lot. And then COVID happened. We found out about COVID a week before the whole country shut down. I luckily had luck, in a way, that's what a weird word, but yeah, I luckily had luck that both productions still paid us a little bit. So I didn't had so much money problems in the last couple months and years. So that's really good. And self-employment scheme really helped me, I have to say too. But through that, because I learned a lot about my awareness and about self-awareness, I knew if I'm not going to do something with my time right now, you know, if I'm going to be annoyed about everything, then I'm going to have a very hard time. And I live alone. I did live in a very tiny studio apartment downstairs. And then last August, I finally was able to move to a bigger studio apartment. But still, I didn't know how much space. We had to be inside, you know, lockdown. So I was like, reached out to all the people who did a program of me and said, look, I'm going to make very cheap privates. I never did that. Why Zoom? But if you are interested to work with me, now is the perfect time because I'm going to have unbelievable free time. And then I will literally teach over 20 privates or 2 hours per week. And then pre-lockdown happened and I was like, you know, less privates because different countries, COVID was better. And I did not work. And I was like, how? I did not work for the last couple of years, couple of months. And then I realized I worked so much in lockdown. I worked so much. But because for me, working was sharing, so it wasn't really work. And now only the last couple of weeks kind of work started to be more frequently again. But still, I want to go really quick to the word that you did, success. That's something I also realized in COVID. What is success? That's a big question, right? And I think I spoke with somebody or I heard it or I found it in my mind. I can't tell you if it's coming from me or not. But I realized for me, success is not what you achieve and what you do. Success is waking up, and that's literally what I'm doing. Waking up and choosing what you do today. I mean, you know, when you have a job 5 to 8, it's success as well anyway. But in my mind, the biggest blessing being self-employed and artist is I can wake up, can be, and choose what I do today or not. It's sometimes easy to stay in my bed and play games, but it's also very exciting when I have to wake up at 6 a.m., not really much, and I go to work. Then I can't choose. But in general, the success for me is actually, I never did something else than being an artist. I never did a part-time job or anything. I do a lot of things, so you could say that teaching is a part-time job, but it's not because it's connected with my dreams and goals and talent and passion and craft. But I think that's kind of success, and that's, I would say COVID kind of teach me that word again, that the small things are success, not the big things. I mean, I have this huge big list as a goal, but I had to realize again that all the smaller things I did, and I did not only small things at all, like I traveled a lot at different parts in the world, for example, for work, but that's success as well. Not just because I didn't do the big things that I didn't do yet, that I'm not successful. And I think this is a really beautiful, beautiful thought that I feel like we artists sometimes lose. We are not aware. We think success is about the picture and the things that we can prove, but success can be also self-love or calm or breath, like breathing in and out, being in a moment in one with yin and yang and all this kind of thing. That's success as well. And I don't know, you said that before, so I felt like I want to share that because I think that's something special to me and realizing that.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. I completely agree with you. I think that society almost makes us think that success is earning money, absolutely, achieving things, getting qualifications, getting a house, getting a car. But I don't think that that is the case. I think that success is about trying to enjoy every moment of every day, whether we achieve things or whether we absolutely don't. And yeah, just trying to be grateful for the things that we have rather than focusing on the things that we don't have. And I think that that's what success is for me. And I think that that is what helps to drive being happy in life rather than feeling like we're always one step behind because we haven't achieved that thing. Absolutely. Or we haven't earned that much money. So, yeah, thanks for sharing. That's a really good point. Okay, so the penultimate question for you is, if people want to see your work or if people want to get in touch, where can they go and how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, to be honest, I make it very easy. So my name is Robin Dobler and you find me on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter, but I'm not using it. Website, and everything is connected together, so it's very easy to be in contact with me.
and I will get those links off you, and I'll leave them in the description on YouTube and also on the audio podcast as well. So if anyone wants to get in touch with you, they can, or if anyone wants to watch any of the work that you do, then they can do that. And the final question for you is, what is your tagline for the episode to summarize your story with dancing?
I love that. I think I give you two, because I kind of try to think about that anyway. But for me personally, awareness is key of like key. Awareness is key, or you can even say awareness is key for life. That's one thing, because I believe if we stop knowing and we are aware what we believe, what we know, we are more open-minded for everything around us. So awareness in anything, I think, is really the key. And another thing is, Manifest, I never know how to say it. That's why I'm struggling. Manifesting is key as well. For me personally, I realized that I realized I do that since I'm a kid. I was not aware that I do it. That's again the awareness. But it starts literally going to bed and speaking out loud what you're going to do tomorrow. So for example, I need to clean my dishes, I have to answer an email. And the crazy thing is, if in my case it works, so if you believe or if that works for you, great, beautiful actually. But I would wake up the next day and will literally do the things. And when I do it, I realize, oh, that was planned. Or even afterwards, I'm like, I said yesterday, or like I manifested I'm going to clean my dishes, and I'm looking, and I did it already. Because I'm allowing myself to already done it. And so my mind is not going to be, oh, I need to do this today, I need to do that. It's more like, it's just already in my mind, kind of a part of my day. But also allowing myself to wake up and again, listening to myself and like, today I'm not feeling good. So I'm not going to force to clean the dishes. I can clean the dishes tomorrow. But that means I really have to be self-aware, and then also knowing that I will do it next day. But yeah, manifesting and awareness and breathing. Breathing, like this is all thing. You are only in one when you breathe in and out, because you are fully in the now, in the moment.
Nice. Well, I think that there are three really good things to live by: awareness, manifesting, and being present in the current moment with breathing. Robin, absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been a fascinating conversation. We've gone in some interesting places that I wasn't expecting to go, but I love those kind of conversations which are very philosophical and also about personal development and about general happiness, really. So thank you very much for your time and coming onto the podcast. It's been great speaking to you, and I've really enjoyed it.
No, thank you for having me, for asking me, and it was a beautiful time and beautiful place to be. And if anyone wants to share with me or talk or questions or anything, it can be also related about my past, just hit me up and I would love to share with you.
I hope you enjoyed that episode with Robin. We'll see you for another episode next week. And to make sure you don't miss out on any of the future content, just make sure you subscribe to the channel. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.